to have everything needed to be like Jesus for growth. And then there's transformation. What the Spirit does in and through us daily to evidence that spiritual growth and maturity is happening. Romans 12:2 says, and you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is something the Spirit is doing in you. He is acting upon you. He is causing this transformation effect. Right? Philippians 2:5 said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, of your thinking, of your thoughts, the pattern of your thoughts, the perspective, the ideals that you possess. So here's the central truth. Identity determines thinking. Thinking determines direction. Direction determines destiny. So many believers are not lacking salvation. They are lacking mental alignment with their salvation identity. Now you know who you are, but you don't act like who you are. So Paul places two identities before us. Those who live according to the flesh, those who live according to the Spirit. Now each identity produces a governing, ruling mindset. And here's the first point. Identity produces direction. Identity produces direction. The 8:5, the 8 clause of that verse. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Now, Paul begins with identity, those who live according to the flesh. And this describes settled orientation, right? A governing nature is involved in this. Not occasional failure, but directional control. So the flesh refers to fallen humanity outside of Christ. It's what you are in the first Adam. It's not who you are in the second Adam. So the flesh refers to this fallen human nature. Listen to this. This fallen human nature operating outside of the control of God. It's self-centered, narcissistic, egotistical, self-reliant, self-sufficient, and self-exalting. That's the man and woman that we were outside. This identity produces mental direction. They set their minds, the scripture says. That set means there's a continual fixation, a shaping perception and desire that they possess. And this is their path. This is their goal. And they're heading to a destination which is eternal destruction. We were in that same state. You've been washed. says, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Here's the contrast. A redeemed identity. That's what we have in Christ. To live according to the Spirit means to be indwelt, led, ruled, or governed by Him, and not by the flesh. This is not aspiration. It is position that the believer possesses. This is who you are, even if you don't know it or feel it. You are this. You're not that. So Romans 8:9 says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwell in you. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Because spiritual identity produces spiritual thinking. This identity, beloved, produces spiritual focus. That's what you have. You focus on the things of the Spirit. What the Spirit center mind is drawn to is this. I'm going to tell you, if you got your mind right, you're drawn to this. And if you're not, there's a problem. And it's not, we're not going to call on Houston. We're going to call on heaven. Heaven, we got a problem here. If you're professing Christ, say you're a follower of Christ and believer of Christ, and your mind is not drawn to this, there is a problem. Number one, you're drawn to the Word of God. You like to hear the Word of God. You want to read the Word of God. You want to understand the Word of God. You want to study the Word of God. You want to meditate on the Word of God. You want to memorize the Word of God. You want to have biblical spiritual intake that you may get spiritual output. Right? And if you don't have that desire, there's a problem. A spiritual-minded person desires God's will over their will. It's a tough one when you think fleshly, but it's not tough when you think spiritual. The will of God is what you want. You want to please God in your living. You're like Jesus. Not my will. It's tough. It's difficult. Not my will, but your will is God. That's what you really want when you're spiritual minded. Right? Because you know who you are. A spiritual identity produces spiritual what? Thinking. How about the presence of God? You want the presence of God. You want to sense the presence of God. May I be bold and say, you want to feel the presence of God. But you can't live on the feeling. You better live by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Isn't it true? You need to walk by faith, not by sight. If I feel God, if I don't feel God, I know He's there. I know He's able. I know He's sufficient. I know that He is working around me even when I can't see Him physically. And then I want God to be glorified in my living, in my life. We studied this Wednesday Bible study, Philippians 2:14, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do what pleases Him. His good pleasure. How is it possible to please God? I have a hard time pleasing people, let alone pleasing God. But God said, you have to do this by yourself. Because as you work out your salvation, Paul said, knowing who you are in Christ and living according to how you are, identity aligned to your thinking and your actions, right? You live that way, you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, because God is at work where? In you, giving you the desire and the ability to please Him. That's a spiritual minded person. We need not more Christians in the world, we need more spiritually thinking Christians in the world. We have too many Christians, and they don't think spiritually. So they're almost like they're unsaved. They're almost like that fish out of this environment, it will die. The Spirit is the believer's environment. Oh, fellowship with the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Worshiping in the Spirit. That's what Jesus said, worshiping the Spirit and truth. From the immaterial part of you, to worship Him according to truth. So I praise Him from the inner person according to truth. I praise Him with my mind, my will, my emotions, and my body. Because He wants the whole man and woman to worship Him. And worship is not a praise group. It's not a concert. Can I just say what it is? You know what it is. It's a lifestyle. That's the environment which the Spirit wants to breathe on us again and again and again. Thinking aligns when identity is in place. Point three. I'm going too fast. The word is mindset. If you want to outline, fill that. Mindset determines life or death. It determines life or death. For it to be carnally minded is death. Paul now shifts from identity and direction to consequences. There is consequences for walking in a certain way. A flesh-ruled, governed mind produces death. Not only physical death, but spiritual deterioration. It's gradual. It's progressive. But it's real. What I mean by this, separation from fellowship with God. Carnally minded man who sets his mind on the flesh is alienated from God. You talk to him all day about God, he will not comprehend. He will not apprehend. It will not compute. If you tell him the goal of life is to please God, he's going to let you like your food. Like you've lost your mind. We only live once. Well, that's a lie. We live forever. Whether you're saved or unsaved, forever with Him, forever away from Him. Forever in heaven, forever in hell. Forever in peace, forever in chaos. Forever in light, or forever in darkness. You choose. See, separation from fellowship with God, that's the mind that's set on the flesh, is death. Emotional instability. Moral confusion. Don't know what's right or wrong. Everything wrong is right, and everything right is wrong. Black is white, white is black. Confused. They live in the gray. And then there's inner emptiness. Emptiness in a lot of people who don't know the Lord can lead to suicidal ideation. Because we can really get to the point of it all. If there's no God, if there's no hell, why do good? Why seek the good of others? Why do what is right? If there's no final judgment for the human being. Romans 8:6, the part B of that verse. It says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God through Jesus Christ
flesh is what? Friendly to God? Accessible to God? Hostile. In opposition to God. There are no carnal Christians. They're just Christians who act carnally sometimes. Now, listen to the B clause of that verse. For it does not. What is the it? The mind that is set on the flesh. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Now, so here's what Romans 8:8. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And then he's going to contrast that reality in verse 9 and say, you, however, did he say it? You, however, are not where? You're not in the flesh, because in the flesh is an unsaved state. It's an unredeemed state. It's an unforgiven state. It's a lost state. You can't
biblical kiss, I mean. I want to seal us with a biblical spiritual kiss. Y'all there? Say amen. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God, here it is, has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. How did he do it? By sending his own son in the likeness of Jimmy Ruffin. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh for this purpose, verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Get your mind right. You ain't good enough. You never will be. But he is. And he transferred that redemptive work to you by faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. Whatever is honorable, that's it. Replace what you're resisting with what is honorable. Whatever is just, replace that with something you're resisting that's probably unjust. Whatever is pure, so you're getting rid of impurity now. But you got to put purity in the place of impurity. Come on, somebody. Whatever is lovely is replacing that which is ugly. Whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about all the time in the present tense. These things, I know we don't do. I know we don't do. We read it, but we don't do it. And I'm telling you, you got to adjust your mind and begin to do it in the power of the It's doing its job. It's supposed to remind you what's going on in the engine, the life of the car, right? What's going on that's wrong that needs to be fixed. Likewise, thoughts reveal internal alignment. Anxiety, confusion, fear are often indicators, not origins, of misalignment. It doesn't mean the car is no good just because it tells you that something's wrong. It means you need to get it fixed. Think according to who you are. Romans 8, 5, and 6 is not about behavior modification. It's not about trying harder. It's not about doing your best. It is about identity-driven transformation of the mind. The Spirit is not only changing what you do, He is changing how you think so you can live from who you are. So the final question is this. Are you allowing your past identity in the flesh to shape your thinking? Or are you allowing the present identity in Christ to govern your mind? Because fleshly thinking leads to death, spiritual thinking leads to life and peace. And the difference is not just